multiply our sorrows, our loss. We multiply our failures, our pain. We multiply even our sufferings in many areas of our lives, because when we are confronted by the challenges of life, by the problems of life, by the difficulties of life, and by the negatives of life, so many men and women either don't know where to look to for help when confronted by these negatives that come our way in life, because many men and women do not know the source to which to turn. Others seek help from the wrong source. It is a well-known fact that what makes the difference in a successful political leader is the advisors by which he is surrounded. That is the type of advisors which he has. And that is universal. When Moses was struggling, having the work that was too much for him as a one person, his wife's father made a suggestion, but that suggestion no doubt was an inspired suggestion. His father-in-law made a suggestion that the work is too much for you as a one person, Moses. Appoint experienced, sensible, mature men. If my memory serves me right, it's among the first place we read of elders in the Bible. And that made a difference in Moses leading the children of Israel in a successful way, because he had experienced men around him to advise him. We see the opposite in Solomon's son. When his father, the wise man Solomon, died, and Jeroboam, always mix them up, Jeroboam, seek advice. He had some age, experience, wise men who also worked with his father around him. No, that's a blessing. He got advice from them, and it was wise advice that would make him a great and successful leader had he taken that advice. But he didn't like the advice. He went to his peer, some inexperienced youth like himself, who had not lived long enough to see a lot of things. And he took the advice of the young person like himself. And that brought all sort of negative consequences for Israel. What is the point? In so many cases, when we are confronted by the negatives of life, the challenges, the problem, the issues that seem so big, too big for us, some either turn to the wrong source. There are others who do not know to whom to turn. Are we all there? Naaman was a Syrian, not an Israelite. He was sick with a disease for which there was no cure. In other words, within months it would kill you. Leprosy at that time, at least. He went to his boss, the king of Syria. But the king of Syria could not help. The king of Syria sent him to the king of Israel. The king of Israel could not help, in fact. The king of Israel misinterpreted the whole thing and thought that because the king of Syria was more powerful at that time, mighty large army than Israel, he thought that the king of Syria was seeking a fight with him. Of course, Elijah by chance heard. In fact, God was in the making for that news to have reached Elijah's ears. And that was the right person. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, men and women, sometimes when we are faced all sorts of problems, marital problem can come your way. Family problem. Problem that come as a result of members of the family not getting along. Sometimes there are serious issues. You can be confronted by financial problem, health problem, all sort of problem, legal problem. Then you see, in our culture, we have a way of running to our closest friend. Now, if your closest friend is qualified in that area to advise you, go to that friend. Wait. Not only qualified, is that close friend a relative objective? Will that person give you a balanced advice? Or will that person give you advice just to make you feel good? You see, all that we have to weigh. When you have issues that are important that get the right answer to make right decision, it's important that you understand to whom to go. Because a lot of times your friend might not be the best person. Relatives might not be the best person. There are times they might be if they have the objectivity, the balancedness, the honesty, and of course the knowledge and the experience. And some people turn to Obia. That's right, to this day. Now, and then sometimes we disguise that by calling them spiritualists. There's nothing about these people that are spiritual. Nothing. They are just people having Satan working through them. But a lot of time in ignorance and in desperation, you go to them. What is the point that in life we multiply our sorrows, we multiply our loss, we multiply our failures, we multiply our pain, we multiply our suffering? In many areas, because either we do not know to whom to turn when we want right advice, or we turn to the wrong person. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, we are introduced to a widow. I said 2 Kings chapter 4. While other passage will come in, most of what I plan to share with you today will surround, or rather, revolve around that passage. 2 Kings chapter 4. We are introduced to a widow, a woman who had lost her husband. She had two sons. But this woman's life had taken a turn for the worse. At the point we met her, she was living in bereavement. As you know, bereavement come mainly, or one of the main source of bereavement is death. Her husband had died. But it's not the mere death of her husband that create some of the problem. He died leaving her in debt. That is owing a debtor a lot of money. You know what? The person to whom, well, rather, the debtor, the man that they owe, that her husband owed, came and made demand upon her. Listen her story. Listen her a little. I said 2 Kings chapter 4. Let us hear from verse 1.
Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah.
There cried a certain woman
of the
she
wives.
She was one of the wives of the sons of the prophet.
Saying.
Saying.
Thy servant, my husband, is dead.
She came to Elisha and she said to him,
Thy servant,
that is her husband, was one of the assistants to, is it Elisha? Or Elijah? I think it's Elijah.
Elisha.
Elisha, thy servant.
My husband is dead.
My husband is dead. Read on.
And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord.
I want to comment on that in a few moments, but I want you to notice that statement. If you want to title the lesson today, title it, Know Where and to Whom to Turn. In life, know where to turn when you need proper advice, when you seek help of whatever sort. Know where to turn and to whom to turn. This widowed woman knew where to turn and to whom to turn. That's important. Now, she came to the right person. But when she came, she had collateral. Brother Mitchell, I am getting lost. What collateral have to do with the woman coming to Elisha? I'm coming. Remember, she was in bereavement. She was in debt. Read on a little further, brother.
And the creditor is come to take unto him.
The creditor is what?
Come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen.
You all get that? This is the woman's only source of little consolation. She have two young boys. That's the only source she has to give her some encouragement in life. And the debtor came and says, if you do not have the money to pay me, I'm going to take your two sons as slaves. You know, a lot of times we think that things can't get worse in life, and it got worse. That's the situation that this widow woman experienced. So it's not just bereavement and death. She was looking on slavery for her two sons in her life. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, sometimes out of nowhere, life sometimes takes a bitter and sad turn. Somebody said, Brother Mitchell, I understand that. I know that. I experience that. Let me repeat that sometimes out of nowhere, life sometimes takes a bitter and sad turn. But it is especially sad and bitter when we do not know or have anyone to whom to turn. That's the time that life, unpleasant, undesirable, bitter experiences become even more bitter. When we do not know or have anyone to whom to turn. You know, and this is why I come back to the point she made in, I think, verse 1, that thy servant, read that part for me, brother, when she tell the type of husband she had.
Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord.
No, that's collateral. That is collateral. Brother Mitchell, what is collateral? It's when you go for a loan or a mortgage and the bank or institution from whom or from which you want that loan or mortgage have asked you what you have for me to hold on to. That's right. You want a car? Is the car in the condition that we can hold it as collateral for the loan? You want a backative. So this woman, in desperation, her back against the wall, the debtor came. She didn't have the money to pay him. He's going to take her two sons. When he talks about to make them bond men, it means to make them slaves.
That's right.
That's terrible. But life sometimes takes terrible turns. And those of us who have lived long enough, we have seen it. Some of us have gone through it, where life takes terrible turns. But thank God when we know to whom are we to turn for help. Thank God not only this woman knew where to turn for help, but she had collateral. It would be a sad situation if she came talking about her husband that cursed God. And that oppose Elisha, because may I, brothers and sisters, visiting friends, the collateral is not so much for Elisha. The collateral is for God. You remember when Hezekiah got, as if it were a telephone call from God, that he's going to die. You remember the lesson? Ezekiah had collateral. God told him, set your house in order, for you are going to die. It means within a short space of time, I'm going to take your life. Ezekiah was a king. And Ezekiah went to God. But in addition to depending on God's grace and mercy, you know what used to melt God's heart? Collateral. He reminded God that he had been faithful to God. God knew that. And God had some more years to the man's life. Wait. Visiting friends and even Christians, it's important that we realize that we need to have collateral when we go to God. For one thing, the Almighty God has given us the greatest collateral there is, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. We must learn to hide ourselves in Jesus Christ. And the men and women sitting among us here who might not be Christian, that's what we're encouraging you. That you have to be in Jesus Christ. When you are in Jesus Christ, you have the ultimate collateral. Woman said, my husband feared God. That was her collateral. This widow knew to whom to look for help. And that knowledge, in reference to knowing to whom to look for help, when you are confronted by life's negative, life's problem, that knowledge to know to whom to look for help makes all the difference in the world. Psalms 121, verse 1 through 3, let me hear it. Psalms 121, 1 through 3.
I will lift up mine eyes
unto the hills. I will lift up my eyes
unto the hills.
Unto the hills.
From whence cometh my help?
Wait. You know, should I look up Red Hills, Brother Mitchell? Now, the psalmist he's using a metaphor here, looking up to the hill that is heaven. He's looking to God. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. That's where my help is coming from. That is God. Wait, the psalmist is telling us that he knew where to look to for help when he needs it. Read, brother.
My help cometh from the Lord.
My help cometh from the Lord,
which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot.
He will not permit. The word suffer there means, it's the old English use of the word. The word said, he will not suffer
thy foot.
Thy foot
to be.
He will not permit your foot to what?
To be moved.
To be moved. Read on.
He that keepeth thee will not slumber.
He that keepeth thee will not go to sleep. Read on.
Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep.
God doesn't go to sleep. That when your back is against the wall, You have to wonder if he's sleeping now. No. The Almighty God is always. Isn't that wonderful? There are a lot of times we run to a person for help and either the person is not home or you do not know where to find the person. It might be such a time in the night that you realize it's not the wise time to go. The person might be deep asleep. Isn't it wonderful that we do not have to have those fear with God? What verse are you?
4.
Okay, you may stop there. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. As I said, this widow knew to whom to look for help. Not only that, the knowledge, as I said, in respect to knowing to whom to look is important. Her husband had been a God-fearing person. But get this. His affairs had been left in confusion and ruin. That's how that happened. Good people sometimes forget or don't remember, don't consider it important to make proper arrangement. When my father died, my mother was a real business person. You know, that is, she have a knack for business. So when my father died, she was telling us to go and talk to Dick, Tom, and Harry because she feels that they owe him money. Now, my father was kind. Just kind. Truly, I mean, probably that's why he was so loved. And there is no doubt that a lot of people in the district owe him money. But for us to go, most of them going to say no. So we just let that go. He should have jotted down the people. Well, this widow's husband, good man, but he had left his affairs in confusion and ruin at his death. In fact, from the passage, there is implication that the debt owed, some of it was owed by him. Seems that things had gotten bad that this wealthier person in the community ever saw him, he went to the person and borrowed books and money and died and left it on his poor wife. That was not his intention, but it happened. To this day, things like that is happening. Misfortune may overtake the best intentioned person and reduce them from affluence to poverty. That's right. Misfortune. And especially in this time of COVID-19, it is bringing misfortune to so many people. And I'm not talking just within our borders. Are we all here? When you look on the TV and see in these rich, developed countries, they are not third world countries. They are industrial. just to get a box of food to keep them. You see, a lot of that, brothers and sisters, we do not know sometimes what turn life will take for any of us next week. It doesn't matter what you have. Mark my word. And sometimes, as I said, these misfortunes can turn the best intentioned person from a person of affluence to a person of poverty. The creditor was merciless and was about to take her only source of consolation, her two sons, a slave. Mark you, Leviticus had forbidden this type of thing. Leviticus had told the Israelites that they should not treat. In fact, let us run to Leviticus 25:39. Quick. Leviticus 25:39. Let us hear it.
And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor, and
wait,
be
start again.
And if thy brother that dwelleth be
if thy brother that dwelleth
by thee be waxen poor and poor. And be
wait,
so
what word?
Poor. Waxen poor. And be sold unto thee.
Poor.
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 Yes.
Okay. Because that's what I expect there. Wax coal means, the word wax, if my memory serves the right, is French. And it means to grow poor. If he became poor, if your neighbor that lived beside you or your brother became poor, what happened? Read.
And be sold unto thee. Thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bond servant.
Don't treat him as a slave. You see, even in the Old Testament, we have him of the considerateness of love and care for our brother and sister. And so what we see this debtor, this creditor is doing, is something that the laws of Israel forbid. But you see, a lot of Israelites just brush it one side. He came to take the two sons. But as bad and as sad and hopeless as her situation was, the woman knew where to come with her tale of grief and sadness. You see, this business of knowing to whom to turn is important in life. You know, when Jesus Christ asked Peter, you are not going to backslide to you and the others. Peter said, to whom shall we go? It's important that as we go through life, we know to whom to turn when we are confronted by the negatives of life, by the problems of life, by the ups and downs of life, and they do come. She knew where to come to for help with her tale of grief and sadness. She remembered the father of the fatherless and the judge of the widow. She remembered that. Let us hear Psalms 68 and verse 5. Let us hear it. Psalms 68 and verse 5.
Father of the fatherless.
The Almighty God is a father of the fatherless.
And a judge of the widows.
And he's a judge of the widows. This had been taught to the Israelites. In fact, I can go to the passage of Deuteronomy and show you that this had been taught to the Israelites. This woman, remember that God is always a father to the fatherless. And a judge to the widow. She was a widow. Too many don't believe in or know where to take their sorrow and grief. That's the problem with so many men and women as they go. The men and women who do not know God, who do not know Jesus Christ. If there are financial problems, they take it to the gambling house. It is unfortunate when Christians look to picture and whatever to take care of their financial need. May I just drop this along? Did you know that sometimes one move we make push God farther away from us? The final straw that breaks the camel back, if I may, for Saul, King Saul, was when he went to the Obia woman. That's right. This woman, as I've said, knew that God was a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widow. I pointed out that too many men and women do not know to whom to turn with their problems and their challenges. And even for some Christians, they do not trust God enough. They do not believe in God enough. Look at verse 2. Don't move from 2 Kings chapter 4 as we come down to the final 15 or so minutes of the lesson. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 2.
Unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?
Wait. When she brought her sorrow and her grief to Elisha, he listened. He asked the question, what do you want me to do for you? And he asks another question following the first. He said,
What hast thou in the house?
May I? What do you have in the house? Brothers and sisters, whatever it was that was in that house, however useless, however worthless, God could transform it into something of worth and value.
That's right.
That's the point. He did not. Mighty God can transform. transform it so that the woman's need be met. God can transform it, however worthless, into something of worth and value. Did you know that the Almighty God in Jesus Christ is still treating human life like that today? It doesn't matter how downtrodden that life is. It doesn't matter how poor or uneducated the person is. It doesn't matter how destitute the man or woman is. Jesus Christ can take that life and transform it. When Jesus Christ take the few fried dumpling that was meant only for one boy lunch and transform it so that it fed 5,000 and left over, Jesus Christ was serving the world a message that he can also transform lives like that. May I? What is it in thy house? look at well. Note Elijah's three-step approach. Notice it. One, he inquire as to any resource that she may have. That's the first thing. What is it in your house? Second step, he inform her to prepare herself for a liberal experience of God's power and God's goodness. That's the second thing he did, you know. This is important. That she must get ready to receive a liberal, enough experience of God's blessing. And third, he demands secrecy. Now, this is important. Today, the people who claim they can work miracles. You see, Elisha knew that God was going to do a miracle. But he did not invite the whole Israelite to come. He asked, in fact, read it, brother. Let me hear verse 23.
Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors.
Wait. I want you to listen to this. Go, borrow vessels from all your neighbor. Read on.
Even empty vessels.
Empty vessels.
Borrow.
Wait. You should start at verse 2 again, brother.
Okay. And he said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil.
One pot of oil.
Then he said.
Wait. One pot of oil. That's all. That's all. Abilios. Of course, you need some food. You can't eat pure oil. You know, but I told you, and that's what one of the things the lesson is showing there. The ability of God to transform not only whatever we have into things of worth and value, but to transform lives. Mm-hmm. Then Elijah said.
Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors.
All your neighbors, go and borrow vessels from them.
Even empty vessels.
Empty vessels.
Borrow not a few.
You see, this is in keeping with the liberality of God.
Right.
You know, if time would allow me, I would give you some other passage. You know, there was an occasion when Israel was fighting against the Syrian, I think, and the Almighty God commanded his servant, who was the king of Israel, to the prophet, I think it was the same Elijah, to strike the place. And he struck it about 2 or 3 times. And the prophet quarreled on him, said, "You should have struck the thing many times." Because striking it many times would show how God going to make you defeat and subdue the Syria. Mm-hmm. God is blessing not when he reigns. Read on that. Must be confused. I would be confused. Read on, brother.
"And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee."
Wait. You see, this is the secrecy. You see, as I said, today you have these man-made faith healers that you come expect a miracle. You have never heard Paul or Peter send words out by the disciple to go and tell the community that a miracle is going to be performed. Never.
Right.
You never have Jesus Christ doing that. But the people who could do authentic miracles don't do that. The people who are fraud, who are bandulu, they are the ones.
That's right.
And they tell you that a million times, and not one of the times do they perform a miracle. Elijah said, "When you come in, shut the door." He knew that God going to perform a miracle that day, but it doesn't have to be spread all about. God's power is not dependent on how many people witness it.
That's right.
Read on, brother.
"And upon thy sons."
Shut the door. Make sure your son, yourself, is inside. Read.
"And shall pour out into all those vessels."
Now, the one pot of oil. Now, let's say she borrowed from 200 neighbors. The one pot of oil. No doubt she borrowed some pot that was bigger than the one she had. There's no doubt. Because Elijah didn't say, "Go and borrow some vessel." Because the time that she went out to borrow vessel, she didn't know what it was about.
That's right.
She got vessel of all sizes. Read on, brother.
"And thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her.
It's important that we learn to follow God's instruction.
That's right.
The woman did exactly. You see, that's the problem today in religion.
That's right.
You know, every church is doing its own thing.
That's right.
That's why many men and women are going to end up in the eternal hell. Because many denominations are doing things that are nowhere to be found in the Bible.
That's right.
It's man-made tradition. And God is vexed with that because it shows that we have no respect for God's word.
That's right.
The woman did exactly as the prophet commanded. Read quick, brother.
"And shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her." Mm-hmm. "And she poured out." Mm-hmm. "And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son," "bring me yet a vessel."
"Bring me another vessel."
"And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more." There is not a vessel more.
The 100 or the 200 vessels were full. When she looked, the source from which she was going, her other eye
That's right.
She said, I imagine that woman must go out and what is going on. You notice her pack of eyes could not become exhausted already.
That's right. And it came to pass when the vessel, okay. Bring ye yet a vessel. And she said unto her, there is not a vessel more.
The son says, we don't have any more. All the vessels we borrow from all our neighbor, they are full with oil. Read.
And the oil stayed.
Then and the oil stayed. Read.
Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt.
Are we all there? Are we all there? God moves in mysterious ways in order to perform his wonders.
Amen. Amen.
This woman back was against the wall. She was a widow. The debtor came. She couldn't pay. He decided to take her two sons and make them slaves. She had just lost her husband. But what made all the difference? The woman knew where to turn for help.
That's right.
And look how it turned out. In verse 3, You cannot overlook the limitlessness of God's blessing and supply.
Amen.
As we try to end this lesson, you must not overlook that. How limitless God's blessing and supply is.
Amen.
The woman's pot was still full. And it is out of that full pot she fell many, many, many. The end of it, Elisha said, go and sell oil. Pay back the man that your husband owe all this money. May I? As I've said, the limitlessness of God's blessing. This is in keeping with what Romans chapter 15 verse 4 teaches. Quick, brother. Well, in fact, let me quote that. I said Romans 15, 4, but let me quote that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. You might be wondering, why do I go to Romans chapter 15, verse 4? You might look at it and say, well, Brother Mitchell, this has no relevance to the passage, to the lesson. It does. Whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. What you know? That through what?
Comfort
of the scriptures. What is that passage say? When you and I read less like this woman, it brings encouragement to us. That's how the Bible comes, the Old Testament comforts us. When we see what God did in the past, it is telling us what God can do for us today. Through patience and comfort of the scripture. We should take comfort from what God has done for this woman. But look at Ephesians 3:20. Quick, brother, time is gone.
Now unto him. That is able. To do exceeding abundant.
Watch here now. I don't know where Paul learned his language from. But watch here. Notice these adjective and adverb. The Almighty God, him that is able to do what, brother?
Exceeding abundantly.
Exceedingly. Abundantly. exceedingly. It is plus abundantly. And it is plus above. Oh.
Yes.
In my time, English teacher would have one or two words to describe that. And probably they would fail your exam. To do exceedingly. But if you use abundantly, well, you have to use exceedingly. And if you use exceedingly, why you have to use abundantly? And if you use abundantly, why you have to use
above?
Read, brother, to do exceedingly.
Abundantly.
Abundantly.
Above all.
Above all that we are able to think.
According to the power.
That is capable of thinking of the greatness that God can do for you.
Amen.
Should I go indeed a little above it is said that the greatness of scientists or genius use only a small capacity of their mental ability. And we don't have enough mental ability to think what God is able to do for us. And that we see that the woman keep pouring out oil and her oil is still, her oil pot is still full. Huh? May I? The only limit of the supply or blessing was the limit of the widow's capacity to receive it. The only limit, you know, was that she doesn't have enough vessel to accommodate God's blessing. That was the only limit. Borrow not a few. This tells of the Verse 4 tells of the multiplying effect of heaven's blessing. Verse 6 shows us that the greater the demand or draw down on God's power and blessing, the more it increases. Say that again, Brother Mitchell. Well, let me close with that. The greater the demand or draw down on God's blessing is the more God's blessing increase. You know anything like that? You know anything like that? That the more you use it is the more it increases? On the God's blessing. And do you know the Romans chapter 5 and I think verse 20. Quick, brother, quick. Time has gone.
Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound.
The law entered that the offense, that is sin, might abound.
But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
If Satan decided that he's going to bring more sin in the world, the Almighty God's grace is sufficient to deal with it. And wherever Satan see to it that more sins exist, God's grace is there to match it. The only point is that we, the Christians, must take God's grace wherever. Jesus Christ died for them, and that Christ has the wherewithal to deal with their situation. And especially their spiritual situation. There are men and women who think that they are so sinful when they think of some wrong, vicious things that they have done. they carry that with them, the fear that God will never forgive them. Let them know that if they come with penitence, God will forgive them. Wherever sin grows more, it can never grow more than God's grace. We've seen this woman, pot of oil.